The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. My name is the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is another episode of the TWBC Podcast. They're coming to you from the King of Darkness, taking place in Winter Garden. And another special guest has joined me up here in the Crow's Nest. Her name is Karen Truelove. How are you doing, Karen?
Doing great today, Tony.
I'm especially pleased to have you here to talk about water skiing in general and your accomplishments and all that kind of stuff, and your relationship with one of the greatest jumpers of all time. But we'll touch upon that all within the scope of this podcast. But first off, so Karen Truelove, you're certainly one of the most consistent women slalom skiers of all time, you know, on the professional level and that kind of stuff. But how have you been skiing recently?
Recently, I mean, we always want more, I guess, than what's actually happening at the current time. I guess I'm kind of just in a different phase of my life right now with the, you know, the kids growing up and just getting a little bit more involved in, you know, other aspects of life. So I'd say like my performances aren't where I want them to be right now, but the cool thing I think is that I'm learning more about myself and the sport than, you know, I have in years past. And so, I mean, it's something that I've always felt like was a little bit of a goal of mine, was to try to learn more about like the technical side of things. So yeah, I mean, I'm kind of almost being forced in a certain way, I guess, to learn a little bit more than, you know, than I've known. So it's you know, it's a good thing. It's a little bit, I guess, bittersweet at times because we always want to, you know, have those really high performances. But I feel like it'll pay off, you know, in the future.
Trying to be a little bit more efficient is what you're trying to say a little bit.
Yeah. You know, just had, you know, it's been, you know, after kind of having the kids and life getting a little bit more full, I guess it's, you know, trying to kind of find, you know, a good balance for me and you know, over my career, there's been, you know, a substantial amount of changes within the sport, technology-wise and things. So it was always, you know, kind of always having to adapt to what's coming at you. And so, you know, I'm kind of at one of those little areas again.
All right, then. You mentioned the kids a little bit, and we'll touch upon them in just a moment. But I mean, you mentioned the changes in the sport because I mean, when we first saw each other, it was probably at somewhere at Coble Ski School or at Bennett's or that kind of stuff. And back in those days, it was like hand driven type stuff, you know, and kind of get, you know, in those situations is you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, you know. But today the technology has moved along. The best drivers in the sport, their nuances behind the wheel have been, you know, from their hand driving have been replicated into zero off and that kind of thing. But do you see that as being the major technical achievement within the sport that's really brought the game up in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think, you know, I would say looking back, I you know, I didn't really, man-made lakes weren't really something, you know, there's only a few man-made lakes out there when I was coming along. And then now, you know, we rarely ski on lakes that aren't man-made. So mm-hmm. It's kind of flipped. So yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, the conditions are more controlled, if you will. I know we can't control the weather, but you know, the conditions are more controlled, and then just having the consistency of, you know, the speed control and, you know, the boats have been improved on and the driving, it's just so many more things are more consistent these days. And it's just, it gives you an opportunity to really dial in. You can kind of depend on that consistency to sort of navigate your way through, and you know, you sort of know, okay, well, I definitely had the same driver, had the same, so many of the same conditions, so you can really start you know, zeroing in on what you need to be working on. Whereas, like you said before, we, you know, it used to just be such a shot in the dark as to what was going on. We just didn't know. You know, ignorance is, I don't know if ignorance is bliss is the right phrase to use right now, but we just didn't know. You know, we didn't know that the driving made such a big difference, and the ropes make such a big difference, and conditions and buoy size, and I mean, there's a quite a long list.
Whole bunch of variables there, you know. I mean, and I mean, from where you come from originally, North Carolina, y'all had the fortune of having some really good drivers up there, like the likes of Tommy Harrington, who driven at Trophy Lakes and all of those great sites. And I mean, you started out in the Raleigh-Durham area, didn't you? With skiing against the likes of April Coble and that kind of stuff, you know. But you were rather fortunate to have someone to ski against, you know, in you know, to kind of train you up and be really, really competitive, you know, in your infancy up there.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if it wasn't for April and then Tammy Hargis, you know, I had two girls that we were all really similar in age. And if it wasn't for, you know, being in those conditions, kind of having that environment, I mean, I know I wouldn't be where I am today. I mean, it makes such a difference. I see it in my kids. You know, I actually see it in my skiing now. It's, you know, it's so much nicer when you kind of have somebody who is similar in, you know, kind of skill level, and you can train with and sort of bounce things off of, and, you know, kind of give you that push, because it's, you know, it's always, you know, nice to have a little, you know, we're mostly self-motivated, but, you know, it's nice to have that extra little push and see what's out there. But yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate. Grew up in North Carolina. We had, I was around a lot of people that had a level of curiosity and desire and drive to want to make things better, and they wanted to gain knowledge, and they're willing to share. So it was just, it was a great environment, very competitive environment, and, you know, I think we still see it 20, 30 years later.
Yes, indeed, and it was that competitive environment that allowed you and April Coboella to flourish and ski on the world teams in the junior level. You know, I think you went to Italy and to Canada and all those places. How much of a life-changing experience was that for you in the junior level?
I mean, I guess it just shows you, you know, I mean, I grew up in a little small town, and, you know, you played normal sports, I guess you call it, like basketball and, you know, volleyball, football, and, you know, to be able to have the opportunity to get out and see the world and know that there's kind of a, you know, a whole big world out there, another way to live, and, you know, different people with different cultures. I mean, it was exposure that I couldn't have gotten, you know, just doing more traditional sports. So, you know, I think it just kind of gave me a desire to want to seek out, you know, something, you know, a little bit outside the norm. And, you know, it was so valuable. Very thankful for the experience.
All right. Continuing our little trip down memory lane, because in terms of collegiate water skiing, both you and April, through your transfer from NLU to UNC, established what is... What is known in certain circles as the true love Coble rule now, which means that you kind of have to take a red shirt if you transfer from one school to the other, you know. I mean, tell us a little bit about how you feel you impacted collegiate water skiing in that regard.
You know, at the time, that was not, like, our intention at all was to stir things up. We were, you know, we both had, we're attending Chapel Hill together, and April actually had started dating a guy named Brian Swenson, and so she was looking at going there, and you know, going and skiing at a college on a scholarship, that was, you know, it was being done, but it was still a bit of you know, it was still a bit unheard of, still unusual. So and, you know, my seasons were fairly short, you know, in North Carolina. So the idea of being able to go and kind of ski and be in that environment was appealing to me, just to have the experience for one semester. And it turned out that it happened to be the fall semester, you know, which was when they had collegiate nationals. So yeah, we didn't know what we were stirring up there, but apparently there's a April and Karen rule that was established, you know.
Indeed.
Because of that.
Yeah, and funnily enough, it your little stint at NLU, okay, which is now ULM now, the Warhawks. Yes. Yeah, you were the Indians back then, you know, so we've got going down a little bit of NCWSA history. But that little stint there was the genesis of probably one of the greatest power couples in all of tournament water skiing. Care to expand upon that, Karen?
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, it changed my life. I mean, I had no idea, you know, that decision, you know, would be such a, you know, be such a big decision, you know, going there. You know, I can't even remember. I think I met Freddie somewhere along the way, like maybe at a nationals or something. You know, we were just friends. We happened to live across the street. Our dorms faced each other, and we just got to know each other. You know, I was not really looking to pursue I thought I was going to be a professional skier along with being having like a profession. Whereas in talking with him, all he wanted to do was be a professional skier, and he was had a very strong desire to do so. But it's kind of ironic because, you know, I had already been on the pro tour and you know, had never heard of this guy Freddie Krueger. So when he was talking to me, I was like, oh, this guy's, you know, he's ambitious, you know. But we just developed a friendship at that time, and then kind of parted ways. You know, I went back to North Carolina, he went to LSU, and then we kind of picked up our friendship, you know, through the next semester, and then you know, kind of realized that both of us wanted more, and started dating that next summer.
Wow. Yep. And obviously to this day, I mean, that friendship, that relationship, you know, continues on. I mean, in a recent Facebook post, I mean, Freddie, you know, he doesn't talk very often. He doesn't, you know, he keeps his heart very much to his sleeve. You know, in a lot of his communications online, we don't hear from him too much. But in a recent post, I mean, he in no uncertain terms said that if it wasn't for you being there, encouraging him along and giving him the pointers, he wouldn't be where he is right now, being the winner of the Masters Jump title and having claimed Masters Jump title in each of the last four decades. I mean, come on, tell us a little bit.
Quite a compliment. Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I look back on it and I'm like, where's the last 20 years gone? So sometimes you know, it's all kind of been a blur. We've both kind of had our heads down and taken each season, you know, as it comes and tried to make the best of what was ahead of us. So, I mean, I think what you see of Freddie, you know, is what I see of Freddie. I mean, what you see is what you get. He's very, detail oriented and determined, and, you know, he just has a level of focus that you just don't see very often. So, you know, he's a easy student, I guess, if you want to call me the coach and him the student. You know, I just feel like honestly, he's actually kind of taught me along the way how to coach him, if you will. So, you know, when we first were together, I mean, I didn't know anything about jumping. I didn't know what I was doing. And he, you know, his dad was a teacher, so he kind of has that gift, you know, to do that. So over the years, he's just kind of told me, you know, hey, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I want, and I guess, you know, over that time, I've kind of learned to be, you know, a good coach for him. So, you know, we work well together, and, you know, I believe in him with all my heart and soul. So I think that just kind of shows through when, you know, when the times get tough, if you will. So we dig deep when we need to.
Excellent, and excellent stuff. And before we bring the podcast to a close, we would be remiss without, you know, touching upon the kids, you know, Ridge and Dash, you know, because, I mean, you're coaching him, you're encouraging him along as being parents of tournament water skiers, having the status that you have, you know, at the high echelon level. I mean, how careful are you in managing what Dash and Ridge do out there on the water so far as coaching and performance-wise, you know, to where they don't burn out like so many kids often do in sports of this type?
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy. We're kind of going along, you know, taking each day as it comes with that as well. So, you know, as their personalities kind of and desire kind of develops, we're sort of we're responding to that, I guess. They're getting more determined to want to get more involved in skiing. Kind of what you touched on earlier, you know, with me having the relationship that I had in North Carolina with, you know, April and Tammy. You know, they're seeing that with the other kids. So it's, I think that's so valuable to kind of get out there and, you know, have the exposure and, you know, the encouragement and the, you know, just little competition goes a long way. So, you know, I think it's just, you know, with the pandemic and everything kind of shutting down, I think we all, you know, Freddie and I both were like, you know, wow, this is, you know, we can still, the kids can still ski. Like they aren't able to do the other things they were kind of involved in, but they can still ski. So, I mean, that kind of gave us some valuable time on the water. And, you know, just, they've just kind of started falling in love with the sport, you know, like we all have.
Excellent stuff. So we'll wrap it up around about there. But any thanks, any shout outs you'd like to give to in nearest and dearest?
You know, I have to say thank you to my family and, you know, my everybody back in North Carolina. And, you know, Mastercraft has been there from the beginning. And, you know, we just, wouldn't be able to keep moving forward without Mastercraft. So just big shout out to those guys. And, you know, looking forward to the tournaments and, you know, coming up later in the year. We've got some, the calendar's getting a little bit full here, which is great. And got the Mastercraft Pro and Worlds and stuff. So looking forward to close out with a bang.
All right. You've been listening to Karen Truelove here on the TWBC podcast. My name's Tony Lightfoot. Great to have you and thank you for participating. And that's it for this episode. Be sure to join us for the next episode. But until then, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.